This is Morning Edition on AM 580, and it's time now for our opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. In Kansas City, December wheat opened at 8:48, up 14 on the open. March, 8:49, up 14. At the Chicago Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 8:57, up 7 on the open. March, 8:63, up 8 3/4. May, 7:53, up 9 1/2. July, 6:14, up 7 on the open. December corn opened at 3:73, up 3 3/4 on the open. March, 3:88 1/2, up 3 1/4. May, 3:97 1/2, up 3. July, 4:04 1/2, up 1. September, 4:11, up 3. December of next year, 4:18 1/4, up 2. March of 2009, 4:25 1/2, up 1 1/4 on the open. November beans opened at 9:89, up half on the open. January, 10:04, down 1/4. March, 10:10, down 1. May, 10:09 1/2, unchanged. July, 10:10, down 4 1/4. November of next year, 9:49, down 4 1/2 on the open. October soybean meal opened at 275.30, unchanged on the open. December, 281.20, unchanged. October soybean oil opened at 39.40, down 4 on the open. December, 40 even, up 6. At the Merck, October live cattle open at 95.35, up 5 on the open. September feeders open at 115.70, down 15. October lean hogs open at 62.25, down 12 1/2. And February pork bellies open at 85.75, up 12 1/2 on the open.
Agricultural programs are made possible with support from Cargill, featuring ProPricing Grain Contracts, a marketing program providing a variety of contracts designed to fit a farmer's performance goals and risk tolerance. Information on the web at CargillProPricing.com.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzalo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
I want to begin with the technicals, Mike, and particularly focus some attention on the corn today and ask you, what does it imply that we're running counter-seasonal to what typically is a strong downturn in the last 2 weeks of September, that not happening today?
Yeah, I think mainly, Dave, it could be the fact that the market is moving out of a think local type market or a think domestic U.S. market and more of into a think global market, especially with the new news of the Chinese looking at maybe halting their exports and slowing down their industrial demand for corn. Certainly the weaker dollar and the stronger crude and the stronger gold has a global note to it. It could very well be that the market is looking at a bigger picture than what we've been used to seeing here the last couple, 3 months. So that's probably our first take on it, and the question would become, how long does this last?
And in your estimation?
Well, the reason I put it like that is because there are people in Chicago that are saying that we're going to be on track for adding another 5 bushels to the yield in the future reports by USDA this fall and early winter. You can't argue that if you're in our line of work right now because of some of the early yield reports, and they have been holding up even in the longer day corn fairly well. And, there have been some anecdotal evidence that yields are flattening out in Illinois and Indiana, but nothing I could really hold and hang my hat on right now. So you've got an issue with the yield issue in corn. And then you've also got the issue is, why is the market buying and going to a global mindset? If you take China off the table, and that China news is fairly new news, why was corn rallying even after the USDA report? And it goes back to the Fed and the weaker dollar. And the biggest thing that they're buying into in the gold is an emerging market inflation mindset. And if that emerging market inflation mindset comes to be a negative force in the pricing of commodities, and historically that's usually what happens eventually, then the upside potential may not last very long. You could have a very strong accelerated run to the upside, but the duration may not be as long as what we've been used to here in the past. So that's the big question mark in our minds right now and what we're focusing our analysis on in the upcoming monthly newsletter.
I want to turn our attention further out, maybe a year or more, and ask you whether or not you feel that the run-up in corn has been primarily based on ethanol. I think a lot of people would argue that that is the case. In the WASDE report in September, we got a 100 million bushel cutback in ethanol consumption for corn. And I wonder, with crude prices where they are, making new highs every day, it seems like. October went off the board with all-time highs, and November now the lead month option. Ethanol spot prices, though, not doing anything. That suggests that maybe that the ethanol supply is outpacing the demand by a good piece. And if that's the case, what might that imply for corn prices down the road, say, 12 months from now?
Well, I think it's one of the pieces of the puzzle that causes us to want to be at a third sold in 08 corn and 08 beans and 08 wheat, because the last 6 years, the high prices are doing their job. They're encouraging a tightening of demand and a slowing of demand, and they're increasing the supply side at the same time. And I think that's where the ethanol is a key indicator here. And you know, the ethanol, if you look deeper and underneath the surface, it seems to us that you have two problems that's causing this, quote, oversupply or overcapacity right now of ethanol. One is you just don't have the refinery capacity to blend that much more, whether you're talking about unleaded or whether you're talking about or ethanol being blended into unleaded. The crude oil stocks are staying relatively high while the unleaded stocks are staying very low, down towards the bottom end, even a couple standard deviations below the five-year average of unleaded supplies. Distillate supplies are also very, very low. That's a key indicator that we just don't have enough refinery capacity to meet the demand and get caught up. So that's one issue that's not going to be solved very soon, and that's a black mark against the ethanol right now. But the other issue becomes, are the refiners themselves, have they met the requirements that have been legislated by the government, and now they're choosing not to go ahead and blend as much ethanol because the logistics problem of transport and the logistics problems of storage, those are probably issues that are happening right now, Dave, and I think those are the more serious issues that we'll have to keep an eye on. But certainly the best cure for high prices is high prices, and I think today's and this week's news of what China's been doing and Russia and the Ukraine as far as export restrictions and implementing those and going ahead and pushing intervention stocks out to cool domestic prices, you're seeing emerging market inflation like we did in the mid-90s, and that's certainly something we have to watch out for.
Informa came out with some numbers that suggest that planted acres for corn in 2008-2009 will be at 92, no? Yes. Let's see, get the number right here, Dave, if I can find it in here. It's stuck in this report here somewhere. Anyway, the idea here, it was going to be reduced by, what, four million acres, is that about right?
Yeah, I think somewhere around 3 to 4 million acres was their mindset right now. I think the first thing you say is we've got 08 acreage estimates out too, but I don't know if they're really that good right now for anybody because there's so much up in the air right now. I think the last few weeks of the market would say that your bean acres are going to be higher, both in the South American and the Southern Hemisphere, and here in the United States. But I would also say to you that in the last few weeks, and if it continues, that if these corn yields hold up, Dave, then people that were farmers that were talking about moving back to bean rotation may not want to do that anymore, especially some of the corn-on-corn yields that we're hearing in central Illinois and central Indiana have been truly great, and that is a lot due to the practices of how they farm, getting that down, the increased population, and also it sounds like that the fungicide application has helped in many circumstances if it's been applied at the right time.
88.2 million, the number I was frantically looking for just a little bit earlier. And so you're suggesting that maybe going corn on corn again might not be a bad thing?
Yeah, I think we're going to be coming in around 91, 91.5. We're going to say, yeah, there's a cut, but we're only going to cut it about 1.5 million, and we're putting beans up around 6 million versus up only around 4.1 in Informa. And again, those are very loose numbers. And I think the interesting thing was that Informa came out with only a 2.1 million acreage increase in wheat, and we're at about a million acres even from last year. I think that's playing out now in the July wheat price, and you can see the spreads really getting active, where the December and March have been falling like we've thought it could, and yet the July is buoyed up and bounces higher, and that's especially noteworthy because in another 2 weeks we're really going to be planting hard in the southern plains if the weather holds. So the wheat spreads are still very crucial. I would put wheat still at the leader in the overall complex at this point, given what we've seen this past week.
Others would suggest soybeans have taken the lead from wheat.
Yeah, and that may be a justifiable issue because the November spread has rallied about 85 cents. I think it's been since the end of or middle part of July. I think, though, that the beans have been more of a speculative move in nature. There's probably been some anecdotal yield issues out there that have made people want to buy back beans. But I think beans have been mainly speculative in nature. And when we talk about the wheat being the leader, I think we're talking about the economics and the supply and demand fundamentals of how the corn, the beans, and the wheat all react with each other, especially when it comes to acres and things like that.
Don't have a lot of time left, so I'm going to just hit you with a quick question. November beans, before they go off the board, do they reach 1064?
It's going to be hard. I think it's going to be very hard. I think that there's a lot of congestion right around that $10 to $10.20 area, and I suspect that unless the USDA gives us a good, sizable yield reduction, Dave, in the October report, it's going to be real tough.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day.
You too. Mike Zuzulo, you're listening to WILO Urbana.